This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We pay our respects to the fallen. We talk about this Trump trial date, all kinds of foreign policy stuff happening, and a major announcement at the end of the show. All that's coming up tonight on I'm Right. Before we get to this Trump trial date stuff and foreign policy stuff and everything else on this show, I wanted to do something really quickly, something we do often on this show. I want to pay respect to the fallen. Fallen in training accidents. Yes, we have always paid respect to the fallen who die in combat overseas, but it has always been something near and dear to my heart that the fallen, those who die in military training, they kind of get forgotten, ignored, brushed aside. It's almost like a shame thing. Not that we're ashamed of them, but it doesn't, look, it's not charging up a hill in the middle of a war to win the battle, right? Nobody's going to give them medals, yet military training is dangerous by its very nature. It has to be by its very nature. And when you go give your life in training, that's every bit as heroic as jumping on a grenade in some foreign land somewhere. Crash in Australia. 20 injured, 3 United States Marines killed as of right now. Not going to spend any time on this. I just want all of us to pray for those families, families who are getting the worst visit they've ever had in their lives right now. And I want to make sure we pay our respects to the heroes who gave their lives in service to this country. Training is just as important. So, Semper Fi, brothers, see you again one day. And maybe sisters, too. We're not sure of the names just yet. Now, let's move on to the big news of the day. There's a lot I'm going to get to here, and I'm going to be honest with you right now. There's a pretty good chance you should probably turn off the TV right now, because a lot of what I'm going to say is going to be difficult to hear. You know that's what I do. I say things that are difficult to hear. That's never going to change. And I'm not sorry. I don't care if you're offended. It doesn't bother me in the least. That's who I am. That's how the show has always been. Back when COVID first got here and they announced 15 days to slow the spread, and I watched everybody, including most of the right, say, yes, be safe. And I said, you're all freaking nuts. These people are going to wreck us. Our health, our mental health, our economy, they're going to destroy everything if you give them these powers. Everyone yelled at me for weeks and told me I was a nut job and I wanted grandma to die. And then about a year or two later, everyone came and said, oh, okay, Jesse, yeah, I guess you were right. So this is another one of those situations where I'm going to say some things that are difficult to hear. I just want you to know you're welcome to email me, but I don't care if you're offended. I don't care. Is that clear? It's not your mommy's show. It's your daddy's show. Trump's trial date was announced today. Now, what trial date? What are we talking about? In Trump's D.C. case, his judge is Chutkin. You're going to hear her name a lot. Chutkin. Who is this Chutkin? She's an Obama appointee. She's also an absolute card-carrying communist of the worst kind. She's been presiding over January 6 cases for a couple years now. She's the one who's been throwing people in dark holes for the rest of their lives, over-sentencing people. That's Judge Chutkin. You could not build, as Julie Kelly has come on the show before and told us, you could not build a worse judge for Trump to be facing. Now, let's go over something when it comes to Trump's legal issues. There's some confusion on the right about what exactly is going on, because you know there's a New York indictment, you know that, and then there's the D.C. indictment, which is kind of two things, D.C. and Florida, and then there's the Georgia indictment, and you're seeing a lot of this from the right. You're seeing a lot of, they're coordinating all this. These prosecutors are coordinating. That's actually not true. That would actually be better than what it is. you see Alvin Bragg in New York City. He's not coordinating with Jack Smith in D.C., who's the prosecutor there. And he's not coordinating with Fannie Willis in Georgia. They're not coordinating. They're competing. That's what makes this so bad for Trump. They're all communist apparatchiks, Alvin Bragg, Jack Smith, Fannie Willis. They're all communist apparatchiks. And if you've ever studied communism in any place, you understand that they're constantly competing with each other, in many cases eating each other to get a better seat at the table, a better spot on the Central Committee, if you will. You want to read something fascinating about that? Go read after the death of Lenin, what took place in the Soviet Union, all the jockeying for position. I want this, I want that. He's bad. No, he's good. What's happening with Trump is these communist apparatchiks are competing with each other. Who can be the one that hurts Trump the most? Who can be the one who hurts Trump first? What happened today? Well, they announced that March 4th was going to be the date of Trump's trial, the date his trial was going to begin in Washington, D.C. Now, this is really, really significant for a few different reasons. One, it's extremely abnormal to announce the date of the trial at this point in time. I talked to enough legal people today to know this was very odd. It struck me as odd, but I wasn't sure. So I reached out to a bunch of people and they said, yes, it's very, very odd. It's the day before Super Tuesday. You remember Super Tuesday is the date all those different states in the primary vote on who they want the GOP nominee to be. So it's obviously in part very clearly an effort to make sure Trump is the nominee. But it's actually horrible in many, many ways, too. This is 3 weeks before it starts in New York. See what they did in D.C.? Oh, no. You had your trial date? We got ours 3 weeks ahead of time. And this, by all counts right now, looks like it's one of the first, might end up being the first trials. Well, keep in mind, and this is going to hurt, the D.C. trial, the D.C. charges, those are the ones that will be used to keep Donald Trump's name off of the ballot. Now, you've heard me warn about this before. This is something you've heard. If you've paid any attention at all to this show, if you read Julie Kelly or others, you know that this is not some pie-in-the-sky theory I've pulled out of nowhere. This is something the communists are already planning on. They're already beginning to announce their intention of doing it. The Secretary of State for New Hampshire is already publicly weighing whether or not they will allow Donald Trump's name on the ballot. The Atlantic is already putting out articles saying Trump's name should be taken off of the ballot. Now, again, this is something I want you to hear only the words I say, not what you want to hear, not what you think I'm saying, because I'm going to be very crystal clear. So I'm going to give it to you right between the eyes. Yell, scream, turn off the TV, send me an email, tell me you hate me. I don't care. I've heard it all before. They're never going to let Donald Trump be president again. The system, our corrupt, hideous, unjust, unlawful system, they're never going to let him be president again. Whether they throw him in prison or make him cop a plea, they're going to take his name off the ballot so it's not possible for him to win. And it doesn't have to be in a bunch of states, remember. You take his name off the ballot in really even one, but definitely two swing states, it's over. Oh, Jesse, we'll just write him in. No, you'll write him in. I'll write him in. Enough people will not write him in to win. We won't be able to win that way. We have a corrupt, evil system. They see Trump as a system disruptor. They're now competing with each other to see who can hurt him the most and hurt him the fastest. Donald Trump's end has already been written. It's not a mystery. Not really, doesn't matter what your opinion on it is or my opinion. I'm sick about the whole thing. I assume you're sick about the whole thing too. But these are the Moscow show trials. The end has already been written. Period. End of story. So, what's another reason why I'm saying things like this? Because I know that's hard to hear. Well, it's not because he deserves it. It's all unjust. It's ridiculous. But because the thing that can stop this, that might stop this, neither of those things are going to happen. Either the GOP, the House GOP, can use this appropriations process that's coming up to defund the DOJ completely. They won't do it. Or AGs, DAs of the red persuasion around the country can begin arresting, indicting Democrats, prominent Democrats, House members, senators, so on and so forth. Now, I know that's an ugly place to be, but there's no chance they back off of what they're doing to Trump without that. And since very clearly that's not going to happen, well, it is what it is. You know what's going to happen? As we watch them do this, as we watch them send Trump to prison, as we watch them take his name off the ballot, as we watch the Moscow show trials, you know what we'll get? We'll get endless calls about double standards and hypocrisy.
We can't have a two-tiered justice system in America.
60% of the American people think there's a double standard at the Justice Department. They think that because there is.
And the American people that I represent are sick and tired of this double standard.
The hypocrisy of what I'm about to see. The hypocrisy of what you think you will defend.
This is not science. This is hypocrisy.
If you know this and nobody looks into this, it reeks of the hypocrisy at the FBI and the Department of Justice.
My beliefs on Trump's end have nothing to do with Trump or how unjust all this is. My beliefs on this story already being written, they're because our system is disgusting and corrupt. And it's because the GOP is pathetic and weak. Those two things combined have written the end. Now, that doesn't mean you give up, I give up, all is lost. That's not what I'm saying. Remember when I said don't put words in my mouth? That's not what I'm saying. It means we have to turn our anger, you and me, into activism. No, I'm not talking about waving a Trump flag. Wave your Trump flag. I'm not saying anything against that. That's fine. That's not activism. Going to a rally is not activism. None of those things count. A boat parade, none of those things count as activism at all. Activism, local activism. Take back our communities. Fortify them. Sheriff, school board, board of supervisors. Primary your useless state representative or state senator, because state legislatures going forward are going to be so huge as we try to adjust to living in the Soviet Union. We must turn our anger into activism that matters. Turn your anger into activism that matters. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. Now, we have much more to get to, much, much more, from foreign policy to the climate change monsters. We have to talk about Oxford Gold and how you need to get some of it. You really, really need to get some of it. Did you see the BRICS stuff from last week? China, Russia, South Africa, India, many more countries signing on to this alternative to the dollar. Do you understand what happens when the dollar stops being the world's reserve currency? Get some gold or silver. I don't care what it is. Doesn't matter. Get some precious metals in your physical possession and get them in your retirement, your IRA, 401k. You need them. These people are wrecking our dollar. Call Oxford. Tell them I told you to call and they will make it easy. I promise. Call 833-995-GOLD. All right? 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Let's talk about the genocidal monsters now. The climate change nutters. Do you remember what I told you back in April of 2022? It's designed to kill. It's designed to reduce the human population. Because when you buy into the lie that CO2 is killing the planet, well, what do you think you're breathing out right now? Everything you do produces CO2. They think you're the plague. They believe you're a virus on the planet. And they believe to save Mother Earth, or whatever these atheist freaks believe, you have to die. It's what they believe. Again, we see this. We just talked about the Trump indictment stuff, right? And I was bringing a very, very hard to hear truth there. And the reason I do that is not just because I believe in it. I believe in wading into hard truths and accepting them. I also know this. I know human nature. It's human nature is to avoid that hard truth for as long as humanly possible, because you just don't want to have to deal with it or acknowledge it. It's so easy to look at all these climate change people. Electric car, Mother Earth, oh, don't use hairspray. What, are you going to eat meat? I can't believe the cows are farting. It's very easy to look at these people as being naive or misguided, confused. We use all these labels on them as if they're just kind of a little bit belligerent, but toddlers, belligerent toddlers, and all these Nazis needs a timeout. These people are going to kill us all. You know that, right? This is the most genocidal movement in the history of mankind. No, but Jesse, what about the Nazis? Nazis? The climate change people will kill billions more than the Nazis could have ever dreamt of. Billions more. He's not some flowery hippie. They believe. Now, it's important you understand why. They believe that mankind is the problem. Humanity itself is the problem. I want you to listen. Listen to what John Kerry had to say in Scotland about the deniers.
They flatly deny what is happening to our planet and what we must do to save it. They incite a movement against what they falsely label climate change fanaticism, as they conveniently forget that the dictionary definition of a cult is the dismissal of facts in devotion to a lie. So now, humanity is inexorably threatened by humanity itself, by those seducing people into buying into a completely fictitious alternative reality where we don't need to act and we don't even need to care.
Did you hear what he said? Now, I'm going to play that last part again. Mr. Producer, if you wouldn't mind, would you play the last part again? And I want you to listen very closely and understand what this means.
Humanity is inexorably threatened by humanity itself. Humanity is inexorably threatened by humanity itself.
Humanity's being threatened. Whoa, whoa, what's threatening humanity? Humanity itself. The war on carbon, what you're breathing out right now, is a war on mankind. That's what it is. It goes well beyond a war on oil and gas, which mankind runs on. It's a war on mankind itself. These people are dead serious, and we don't act like it. We act like they're confused or a little bit naive. It's time to start getting ahead of this. It's time to start calling these people what they are. It's time to call Nazis Nazis before they become Nazis. It's time to call communists communists before they become communists. It's time to address a genocidal movement before it's able to kill the billions. Before! Because they're laying it all out for you right here. Now, that probably made you uncomfortable too. But I am right. We have a lot more to get to. It was the Afghanistan anniversary today of our brave 13 fallen warriors. We'll check in on Afghanistan next. Before we get to that, let's get to this. I had another 10 hours of sleep last night. I didn't mean to brag. Okay, I had to. I had another 10 hours of sleep last night. And it's not as if it was 10 hours and then I woke up all kind of half dead groggy because I took some sleeping pill. No. If I want a great night's sleep, I go to CB Distillery because they have these wonderful little sleep gummies where you sleep like a baby and you're not groggy the next day. I lifted weights this morning. If I get home tonight and my chest is a little sore, I will not reach for the bottle of ibuprofen. I will reach for my little CBD roll-on that I got from CB Distillery, and I'll rub it on without destroying my liver for relief. Everything at cbdistillery.com is 20% off with the promo code Jesse. Everything. Go, relax, sleep, roll on. CBDistillery.com, promo code Jesse, all right? We'll be back.
Terrorists attacked that we've been talking about and worried about, that the intelligence community has assessed, has undertaken an attack by a group known as ISIS-K, took the lives of American service members standing guard at the airport and wounded several others seriously. We have so much to do.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It's within our capacity to do it. We just have to remain steadfast. Steadfast. Ladies and gentlemen, they gave me a list here. The first person I was instructed to call on was Kelly O'Donnell of NBC.
August 26, 2021, we lost 13 warriors in Afghanistan. Biden administration was unbelievably silent about it all day until they got essentially shamed into acknowledging the anniversary itself. Joining me now to talk about that horrible place and many others, getting us boned up on the issues, Lisa Daftari, editor-in-chief of the Foreign Desk. Okay, Lisa, that was 2 years ago. They're gone. It's freaking awful. What's Afghanistan like? Is it at least this booming metropolis?
It's worse than we thought. This is what the Biden administration wanted us to think, that this is the Taliban 2.0, that they are better than ever. They are reformed. They're changed. It's a new face of the Taliban. Just today, we published at the Foreign Desk that women are now not allowed to go hiking. So they're not allowed to go to school. They can't get certain haircuts. They can't wear makeup. They can't wear certain clothes. They have to cover their head to their toes. And now they can't go hiking. It's awful. This was not necessary. This is not what the Afghan people deserved after 20, or more than that, I should say, decades of being occupied, decades of having some sort of influence hovering over them and just ruling them. And now to have this, they ended up with the worst case scenario leading them, which is the Taliban. And I'll tell you, now they don't even have that opportunity to overthrow them because the Taliban have been normalized. The United States is dealing with them. Neighboring nations are dealing with them. They are being treated not as a terror entity, but as an actual sovereign nation.
Okay, so look, I hate to put too fine a point on it, Lisa, but it's their country now, right? There's nothing even on the horizon that's going to change that. It's a Taliban-run country?
Absolutely. It is a Taliban-run country. And look, they had everything in place in order to run it. Remember the Taliban of the 1990s? They're the ones that were harboring terrorists. This is why we went into Afghanistan to begin with. They're still harboring terrorists. Not only are they harboring terrorists, they are terrorists. And they're the ones who are terrorizing the people of Afghanistan. The innocent people of Afghanistan. It seems like with the United States foreign policy, it's pick and choose. We look at human rights, we look at humanitarian cases only when it behooves us, and when it doesn't. In the case of the Biden administration, they're looking the other way. Why did we have to withdraw the way that we did? Look, I think most sane people would say we had to get out of Afghanistan. I'm not saying we should stay there forever. And I think that that's always the comeback of the other side. Well, what were we supposed to do? Stay there forever? No, we weren't supposed to stay there forever. We were supposed to withdraw in a way that would not give the Taliban this type of free reign and to leave the people there. I mean, not only 13 people, obviously, 13 Americans that died in the last hours, but a lot of Afghan people who have been displaced, killed, murdered, terrorized, and then the future of an entire nation that we could have helped guide into a better fate.
Lisa, let's switch countries and move on to Iran, a place I know you know well. Okay, so Iran, there's all kinds of BRICS talk about Iran. We're talking about doing a prisoner swap with Iran. The Iran nuclear deal is always in the back of somebody's head. But this is a country very clearly on the move, or at least wants to be on the world stage. What's going on there?
Yeah, this is about the Iran regime. Just in the last 24 hours, an Iranian court decided that the United States owes them, in a lawsuit, $330 million for allegedly trying to conspire a coup in 1980. Look, they just think they have the upper hand right now. Just a couple weeks ago, the United States helped to unfreeze $6 billion in worth of assets to Iran's regime for five prisoners that were are going to be now let out of an Iranian jails. We still have hostages in Iranian jails. There is still the prospect of there being more hostages in Iranian jails. When you look at the deal that they just got, why wouldn't they start collecting all the American citizens within their reach to get more money? But I'll tell you the second thing in the last 24 hours, we just had Tehran Times go public with a three-page memorandum about the U.S. envoy, Robert Malley, about what his suspension was all about, what his investigation was all about. Basically, I'll give you the Cliff Notes version of this. Iran's basically state media knows more about our State Department, knows more about its inner workings than the American public do. We know nothing about this case. We have been trying to knock at the State Department's door for a very long time to figure out what this suspension was about and what the investigation found out about what he was doing under U.S. envoy. He was doing things that were outside of his realm. And using his position to do so. And I'll tell you, what he was doing is obviously giving the Iranians more hope and pushing forward the prospects of an Iran deal, which there are still rumors that we're just around the corner from an Iran deal, is what I'm hearing from my sources.
Wonderful. That's great. All right. I hate to bounce you all over the globe, Lisa, but that's what you're here for. China, Japan's being forced to scramble jets. They're monitoring bombers near Okinawa. China seems like they've been flirting with Taiwan for months now. It seems like it's been forever they've been flirting. Are they ever going to reach out and grab their rear end or what?
Look, if they were going to do it, I mean, this is the time to do it before the Biden administration leaves office, right? I think that's what they're timing, and what we see every day is a small provocation that adds up to a large provocation. That's why we see neighboring countries like Japan get worried about these overreaches by the Chinese, and that's why we're seeing them send reinforcement there to make sure that the Chinese know that they're not going to stand for it. South Korea, Japan, other nations in that part of the world have reminded Washington, D.C. that this is happening, and it's happening faster than we think it is, and we'll just have to watch and see how the Biden administration will get itself out of this one.
Lisa, final question, and I know it's a stupid one, but it's a country I actually love. I love the people and whatnot. Japan, what's their military situation? I obviously am aware of post-World War II, how they were prevented, understandably, from creating too much of a military force. What do they have now? Enough to hurt China?
You know, I don't know if they have enough to hurt China, because China has definitely sped forward with its copycat technology. It has definitely made itself known on the world stage, whereas, you know, years before we wouldn't consider them one of the main world powers, and now here we are, right? But I think Japan has definitely graduated from that passive player in the region because of China. And I think that is the fear that we have with rogue players on the world stage, where they are, it's almost like a race, right? Whether it's nuclear weapons, whether it's invasions, whether it's military might, whether it's cyber technology capabilities, that there will be a race. And now, because of China's overreaches, we see Japan is definitely beefing up its assets, definitely looking into its military capabilities, looking to trade, looking to purchase, and looking to be up to par where it needs to be in order to at least be able to defend itself if China continues on the rampage it has begun.
Let's hope they can. Lisa, thank you so much. Come back soon.
Of course. Thank you.
Got a former ICE agent You're mad about all that Trump stuff? You want to do something? I may have something for you to do coming up next before we get to that. Here's something for you to do. Why don't you get rid of those allergies you complain about all the time? I know how it is. I hear it in my family all the time. Well, I used to, I guess I should say, in my house. Ah, Jesse, I got the sniffles. Dad, what am I going to do? Look, I was there too. Oh, my eyes itch. I went out and I got proactive. A buddy, to be honest, suggested Eden Pure Thunderstorm to me, so I grabbed one. I now own 9 of them. That's how incredible this thing is. Keep one where you sleep. Keep one in your living area, where your kids sleep. Keep one in your office. Clean your air constantly. It's just this little black box. I don't even own allergy medication anymore. Go to EdenPureDeals.com. Code Jesse gets you $200 off a 3-pack. Like I said, I own 9 of them. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Gates are literally open here in the Tucson sector, and there are 141 different gates along the southern border, and the majority of those are open, and the majority of those are open by the federal government. So we talk about how busy the Tucson sector is, and they do this every single year. So what's the problem? Well, the Tucson sector is known for gotaways, for people trying to evade law enforcement, so they're not generally coming through an open door. Well, now they are, and they're doing it by the hundreds.
Well, we sound like a very serious country. Joining me now, I'm excited about this, Victor Avila. He's a retired ICE agent. He's also running for Congress in Texas's 23rd Congressional District. Now, how many candidates for office do I ever have on this show? Hardly ever, right? But how many times have I said to get involved in primaries? Primaries are why the GOP sucks, because we never show up in primaries, and now we have losers like Gonzalez representing Republicans in Texas. So before we get to Gonzalez and why he's pathetic, let's talk to the expert himself. Victor, first of all, okay, the border is open on purpose. Do I have that right?
You have it 100% correct. This is deliberate. It's been deliberate since day one. And I'm here to tell you the truth of what's happening at the border. It's still happening. That clip you just showed is a disgrace of why we even... Why would you even have to build the wall if we're going to open the gates to it? This is lawlessness is what it is, Jesse, at the southern border from Arizona, California, and in Texas where I'm at. I just got back from Eagle Pass, Texas, and it's the same story. You see buoys on the river. You see the razor and all the stuff around the border. And it doesn't matter. They're coming around. They're still coming in. In El Paso, Texas, 6,000 a day are coming into this country allowed illegally by this administration. They're the number one aiders and abettors through the help of a bunch of NGOs facilitating their transportation into the interior of our country.
Victor, you know what? We're going to circle back to the NGOs in a minute, because this is a part of this a lot of people don't fully grasp, but you're retired ICE. I'm not. From the outside looking in, this sure appears to me to be intentional. I don't see how I could take it any other way that they want the country flooded with illegal immigrants. But you were in the belly of the beast. Is that how you take it?
Absolutely. And for several reasons, you know, at first it was, could it be just the votes? They want, you know, more Democrat votes. And sure, that's still possibly the possibility. But here, I think it's more sinister than that, and I think it's deliberate in the fact that they want more representation. Remember, this administration, the Biden administration, one of the first things they did when they hit the White House is undo the rules of counting of the census, and they want illegal aliens counted, and you and I know that what that means. More people to be counted, more representations in Congress, So they'll always have control, at least of the House. And so this is another thing that it goes deeper than that. It's not just this, it's politics, but I think in my heart, I think they're fundamentally changing the fabric of our country as we know it.
Okay, now speak, before we get to your race and why you're running, speak about the NGOs. People don't understand how this works. They don't make the connection. Wait a minute, there's non-government groups aiding illegal immigration. How's that legal? How can that, why is this happening? Can you explain it?
It's a moneymaker, Jesse. These non-governmental organizations, a lot of different groups, some bigger than others, something like names like Catholic Charities, Endeavors, are making billions, that's with a B, of our money, our taxpayer money, State Department money, Soros-funded groups receiving money to only one thing and one purpose, is to aid and abet the entry of illegal aliens into our country. They are located in Central America, down in the Darien Gap in South America, and of course on the Mexico border and on our side of the border as well. And these are the people that have logistically organized the movement of the people. It's a great endeavor, and they have taken it to where they will put them in these facilities, Border Patrol processes them. These are the ones that want to come up, by the way, and turn themselves into Border Patrol. They process them, put them on buses, put them in facilities, put them on airplanes, and here you go, distributed everywhere in our country. And it's the NGO that is doing it. By the way, the help of the United Nations as well, heavy, heavy presence in Mexico, Central America, and South America as well. This is where our money is going. Do you agree with that? Do you want our money to be used to facilitate the entry of illegal aliens? And when I say this, I say it very frankly, I'm all for legal immigration. I want people to come to this country the right way. What you're seeing right now is completely illegal. Even when they turn themselves into Border Patrol, these processes of issuing paroles, of issuing work permits, and bringing them through the CBP One app and process, all that is completely illegal. And these individuals are going to find themselves without any status in 2024. They're thinking that they have some kind of right to be in this country, and they don't. Mostly because they didn't do it the right way. Second of all, they haven't been vetted. We don't know who they are. We don't know what they want. Chinese nationals, Middle Easterners, Africans, forget the Mexicans and Central Americans. I'm talking about 150 different countries of people sending their people into our country, but we don't know what the intention they want. Do they just want to be taken care of by our taxpayers? Or is there more, is there more to that, especially when you talk to about the Chinese nationals?
Victor, let me ask you something. A jaw-dropping stat I heard, but this was a few years ago, 3-4 years ago, that with all the millions and millions of illegals we have in the country, that there are only about 6,000 people at ICE, and only about 3,000 of those are actually guys who go out and arrest and deport people. Please tell me I was misinformed, and then that number is wildly under where we actually are.
I wish you were wrong, but no, we have about 7,000 HSI agents, which are the special agents, what I used to do. These are the criminal investigators investigating any crime that has a nexus to the U.S. border. Then you have the other side of ICE, ERO, enforcement removal operations. These are the ones that are supposed to be out there in the interior of our country doing the worksite enforcement, looking for the criminal illegal aliens. And I have friends that work there. Their hands have been tied as well. That enforcement is almost been abolished. Remember, they told us they were going to abolish ICE, and they didn't have to do it economically by stopping the money. They abolished ICE by taking away their authority. And so you have no one basically going inside the country looking for these illegal aliens. And I'm talking about serious criminals here. I'm talking about rapists. I'm talking about murderers. I'm talking about cartel members. I'm talking about money launderers. I'm talking about people that do not belong in this country. And then on top of that, they come in here and commit more crimes. Just last week, Jesse, an 11-year-old little girl was raped and murdered in Texas by an illegal alien from Guatemala. We could talk a whole show about these victims in this country. And I tell people, listen, by the time, if you hope it never happens to you, if you become a victim of a crime of illegal alien, it's too late. This is part of the awareness that they're coming here and committing crimes. New York is now suffering from what I've been talking about for years. all of a sudden they don't want them there because it's affecting the school systems. It's affecting their healthcare systems. The emergency rooms are used like their primary care facility and doctors. And of course the criminal justice system. I go around the country. I was just in Alabama. I was just in Oklahoma. And the police officers, the chiefs of police, the sheriffs are overwhelmed, not only with our own crime, we have our own crime in search of crime, but now they have to deal with cartel, drugs, fentanyl, methamphetamine, and the crime associated with the open border system that this administration has deliberately handed to us.
Victor, I'm not going to ask you to say anything about him, although you're free to, but I absolutely despise the worthless piece of trash you're running against in this primary, Tony Gonzalez. I just really do not like him. We don't get involved in primaries. We don't get involved in primaries, and then we complain that the GOP sucks. Well, people have to start getting involved in primaries. We have a prime opportunity right here to vote for you instead of Gonzalez, don't we?
You absolutely do, and this is one of the reasons why, and It's very, I mean, these are the words from the constituents of District 23 that tell me they feel betrayed. They voted for someone that he said that he was going to represent as a conservative with an R in front of his name and has done completely the opposite in Washington, D.C. If that's not a betrayal, then I don't know what is. And it's his votes. He votes with the left. Same-sex marriage. Gun control. That I'm talking about voting for gun restrictions and red flag laws. He was solely responsible for blocking H.R. 29, which is the biggest border security bill that I saw and I reviewed along with my friend Tom Homan, and he blocked it, and he was happy to kill the bill. He is right now pushing a new law to bring in more foreign workers with visas. This is not the representation that we need, not only not in this district, not in the state of Texas, and definitely not in the United States. I bring integrity. I bring my experience of having worked there, been there, done that. You know what I went through, Jesse. I almost lost my life in the line of duty. My partner was killed next to me in Mexico. I survived being shot 3 times by that cartel. I have stared evil in its eye. I know the imminent threat that we face by these criminal organizations. I know that we have to deal with Mexico in a very different way, and these other countries. They have to be held responsible, and the burden needs to be shifted back to them. Somehow we took on this burden of having to take care of the entire world. Well, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of being a conservative. I'm not afraid of putting America first. You see me as a Hispanic American. Let me tell you, I'm born and raised in El Paso, Texas, and I'm a Texan, and I'm an American. And it doesn't mean that I ignore my heritage or I hate my heritage. That's nothing to do with that. It has to do with protecting our sovereignty and respecting our laws. Not only is this administration disrespecting us and this incumbent, it's the rest of the world disrespecting our own sovereignty and our Constitution, and I've had about enough. I want to be that one in person that you're going to get. There's nobody like me in Washington. They need me there in this Homeland Security Committee and this Intelligence Committee to tell them exactly what is going on, what I've seen with my own eyes, what I continue to do on a daily basis here on the border to protect our state and country. And so I hope people are able to jump on and support me at victoravilaforcongress.com. I need your support. Let's primary. This is why this system was set up, right? And I say the same thing. Give me a chance. And if 2 years you say, you know what, Victor's crazy, he's not doing anything, then kick me out. I'm okay with that. This is not gonna be a career for me. I'm at a point where I need to continue to fight back as a warrior that I've been all my life, not just in my personal life, but in my professional life. I want to have that opportunity to have a voice for the people, to give the power back to them. I don't want the power. I want the power of the people to speak what they want. And right now, they're being 100% ignored by this incumbent.
Victor Avila for Congress.com. Go support the man. You say you're tired of the GOP, this is how you change it. Victor, thank you, brother. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Jesse.
You bet. That's activism that matters. Primaries. Activism that matters. All right? All right. We have a huge, biggest announcement we've ever done on this show. It's going to change everything. And I will get to that in a moment. Before I get to that, the problem is the low-T GOP. It's the problem now. Always has been. We have to change it. That's why we have to get involved in primaries. Look, either we get involved in primaries or we all have to pitch in and purchase male vitality stacks for every member of the GOP. Male vitality stacks from Chalk. you know, the all-natural herbal supplements, you're probably already taking them. I've been on them for over a year. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Male Vitality Stack from Chalk, gentlemen. Go get on it. Ladies, Female Vitality Stack for you. Not the time to suck our thumb. Time to buck up and get after it. CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off subscriptions. So do that. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I have an announcement to make. A major announcement to make. It's going to change how you view this show for the rest of the time it's on the air. So before I get to that announcement, let's do this really quickly here. Your dog. Your dog, you love him. I love mine. I admit it. Okay, I admit it. I'm a sucker. I love the idiot. And I can't help it. And I want him around a very long time. I look at the way he plays with my kids, loves on my wife, comes up and greets me when I get home. It's what's better than that? So that's why I give Fred Rough Greens every single day. Because I know Fred doesn't get nutrition from his dog food. Your dog doesn't either. That's why it's brown. It's all dead. Dog food is dead food. Rough Greens, all-natural nutritional supplement you pour on your dog's food. When you give your dog Rough Greens, you're probably giving him nutrition for the first time ever. Make your dog live longer and healthier. RoughGreens.com/Jesse gets you a free bag. You just pay for the shipping. Or you call them. 833-33-MY-DOG. Now, to me, this hurts. Right, this hurts. I'm just going to give it to you straight. I'm 42. My old man is pretty much bald. His old man before him, bald. Rest in peace, Grandpa. The Kellys go bald. Look at me. Look at this. I hung on as long as I could. Look at where the peak is. After, you know what? That's not nice, Mr. Producer. That graphic's not very nice at all. But look at how far back it is now. And even worse, look at how thin it is. It's not. This is gonna be my last week with hair. I thought about shaving it all off today. But the wife looked at it this weekend. We were hanging out, we were having fun, and she looked down and she said, "Oh, honey." And I knew it was bad. I was like, "What? What's going on? Something in my teeth?" She said, "It's time for the hair to go." So, I'm gonna do one more week of television. It's you and me, and my hair, just the three of us. And then one of us has got to go. It's not gonna be you or me. But I'm gonna buzz it down at the end of this week. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.